Hello and welcome to episode 39 of the Screaming in Silence podcast, Lessons from Mr. Miyagi. For most of us, severe pain is thankfully a fleeting experience, but for some, like myself, it's a permanent companion. For the past 25 years, everything I've done or experienced has been accompanied by chronic pain. Yet, to the surprise of most, I consider myself one of the luckiest people alive, and I'm thankful for this journey. Through this podcast series, I'll share with you my story and the insights I have gained that have allowed me this perspective. The year was 1984. Apple, headed by Steve Jobs, introduces the first Macintosh home computer to the world. Michael Jackson's hair catches fire during the filming of a Pepsi commercial. The former Soviet Union announces it will boycott the Summer Olympics to be held later that year in Los Angeles. And a nine-year-old me was crane-kicking my way around the house after the release of the first Karate Kid movie. Everyone I knew was infatuated by that film. We all wanted to kick higher and punch harder and execute lightning-fast blocks. The life lessons that Mr. Miyagi tried to impart on young Daniel LaRusso went right over our heads. We could obviously tell he was the good in the good versus bad battle that lay ahead, but what we wanted to do was perfect that crane kick. Save the life lessons for later, thank you very much. Fast forward 40 years and I'm sitting on the couch at home with my son watching Cobra Kai, the continuation of Karate Kid. One of the best reboots I've seen, this Netflix series uses the original actors from the movies, although the actor who played Mr. Miyagi is sadly no longer with us. What we do get treated to, though, is cuts to the original footage of the 1980s movies, where Mr. Miyagi is straining to set young Daniel on the right path. Just as Daniel himself is now four decades older in the TV series, so am I, and those lessons now have greater significance to us both. One of those lessons was about balance. You see, to execute those powerful kicks and punches and to successfully block your opponent's attack, you need strong balance. I've done some training in my life, but not all of it in a dojo. To improve our balance, my sensei would have us train in all sorts of environments. From sandy beaches to deep in the surf, on large pipes and grassy fields to up the tops of hills, he would have us running through our katas and drills on all types of terrain to improve our balance. But as Mr. Miyagi told Daniel-san, you remember lesson about balance? Lesson not just karate only, lesson for whole life. Whole life have a balance. Hearing those words again 40 years after I first heard them struck different this time. Now they had meaning. Now I understood. Not only because I no longer was thinking with the brain of a nine-year-old child, but because the past 26 years of my life required me to understand the importance of whole-life balance. A quick search online for balance and life quotes backs up what Mr. Miyagi was telling us all. From quotes regarding work-life balances to balancing holding on and letting go. On being kind but not abused. To trust but not to be deceived. We need balance in our diets and balance with exercise. Our bank balances need, well, balancing. Almost everywhere you care to look, it would seem that balance plays an important role. So it does too, living with chronic pain. It's not a management tool on its own, though. It's a discipline you apply to how you function or think, how you manage. It's also, as Yana Kingsford tells us, not something you find, it's something you create. The most obvious application I have of balance in my pain management plan is how I perceive myself and my situation. I have mentioned this before, but for anyone that isn't familiar with what I mean, this is about how I choose to see myself from two distinct perspectives, the first being a global view and the second being an individual perspective. The former view, the global one, allows me to see myself as literally one of the luckiest people alive, to live in a country free from a lot of the terrors that other nations witness daily. To have access to first world healthcare and education, to wake up in safety for me and my family, food in the house and clean fresh water, reliable infrastructure, freedom to express myself and my beliefs without persecution. I've said it before and I'll say it again, there are literally millions, if not billions, who would view my existence as one of luxury and good fortune. Then there's the individual perspective. I live with what is considered by some pain specialists to be one of the most severe and hardest to manage pain conditions known. Further to that, I have a pretty significant physical injury that affects my day-to-day life. But even this is not enough to warrant a pity party, even if we ignore the global perspective I have. My life is very satisfying. I have wonderful family and friends. I have passions like motorcycling and my love of music. I'm mobile, I'm healthy and reasonably fit. I have many blessings. Once again, I've said it before, my journey makes me appreciate what I have rather than what I don't. I know that many pain patients don't like to hear this, but I do have it so much better than many others. Yes, I do have a serious injury to contend with, and yes, I do live with severe pain every day. Does knowing that others have it worse than me make my pain any better? Of course not. But these two takes I have on my life, the global and individual, give balance to my life. This makes me see my life as not all bad, and not all good either. It shows me that I can improve my life simply through perspective, that balancing how I see my existence can improve the quality of life I experience. It does also show me how incredibly lucky I am. Another area of my life where I've discovered the importance of balance is self-expectations. This one has probably been one of the most challenging for me to embrace, but equally one of the more rewarding. It does require conscious application though, unlike my global versus individual take. When you have high expectations of yourself, you can potentially set yourself up for failure and do more damage than good if you can't deliver. This can lead to feelings of guilt and failure. It can make you feel frustrated and angry, none of which is beneficial to living with chronic pain and physical impairment. Now, I've never gotten angry about the situation I find myself in. You all know that I embrace this life I have. But I have felt guilt and frustration at times, and this has never served me well. I have had to learn to pace myself at times. Even writing these episodes, I have to take regular breaks. It's not like I'm doing something physically intensive. I'm not exhausted with aching sore muscles. I have, though, had to realise that there is nothing to be gained from pushing myself too far. Of course, I'm very capable of sitting at my computer desk and writing about my experience with chronic pain. That's not an arduous task at all. But it's quite common for me to reach a threshold of discomfort that stops me from being focused completely on the task at hand. A quick 5-minute walk around the house, maybe unpack the dishwasher or fold my washing, is all that it takes for me to be able to get back to writing. I must remind myself that I need to be aware of my situation, that I do have battles that I need to take into consideration. Realizing this takes a lot of the self-imposed pressure off me. It feels good to balance my expectations with my reality. It makes managing my life with pain far easier. It is important, though, for me personally, to never use the pain as an excuse when I just don't feel like doing something. Comfort is nice, but it breeds content. There is a strong desire within me to keep pushing forward with life. After all, this is my one opportunity at it. This too, though, offers benefit to me, the acknowledgement that I can always find an excuse not to do something. It's too hot, too cold, too early, or too late. All these excuses are just that, excuses. Living with pain and impairment, once again, has given me balance in other areas of my life. I need to be aware that sometimes my pain is overwhelming, just like sometimes it is too cold or too late, but to never use these as an excuse to put something off. Balance is also critical in how I view my day-to-day life with pain. As a quick reminder, or to those new to my journey, I'm never not in pain. It's never less than a 3 out of 10, but as I'm quick to remind people, anything less than a 7 is a walk in the park. So, therefore, I can say that, yes, I am always in pain. So, where does the balance come into this? By acknowledging that I have times when the pain isn't intrusive. To take the time to appreciate when it is not impacting my life in a way that is overwhelming. Think about when you've had something ailing you, let's say a headache. It's very rare that someone will say to themselves, I feel good today because I don't have a headache. I appreciate this moment. And then that makes perfect sense. For most people, headaches are few and far between. Even those that may suffer more regular headaches or migraines, like a couple people I know, may not appreciate the times when they're not weighed down by this horrible pain they suffer. Maybe it's the length of time I've lived with pain that makes me look at this differently. When I'm in pain between 3 to 7, I feel great. I feel on top of the world. I feel unshackled from the weight of pain. I am still in pain, of course, but it's comparably not that bad to me. Balancing how I see my pain levels means I focus more on the good times than the bad. Above 7 out of 10 is pretty severe. It does require work and effort. It is intrusive and can be debilitating. I remind myself, however, that it's not always like this, that there is a lot of times where it's not intrusive, not debilitating. And when it's like that, when it's a walk in the park, I'm aware of this. I'm aware that I'm feeling like me and just me, not me with the burden of intense pain. Everyone is familiar with the saying, take the time to smell the roses, and what that means. For me, it's the warmth of the sun on my face. To remind myself how pleasurable life really is, not only when my pain is a walk in the park, but also when it's testing me. I've heard and read people stating that their life is terrible, that nothing goes their way, that the only luck they have is bad luck. I feel this type of thinking is not productive. No doubt you have seen or heard the unattributed quote, be careful what you say about yourself because you are always listening. To me, this is very true. It's not only a balance of good times versus testing times, it's also a balance of life can be tough, but at the same time, so incredibly beautiful and rewarding, an absolute privilege to hold. Pain is my greatest teacher. I mentioned earlier that I have a lot of good in my life. My family and friends, my passion for motorcycling, enjoyment of music, my health, all the experiences I get to have, and the help I can give to others. That's nothing special really. Most of us, if we look closely, will find we have a lot of good in our lives. We also have our battles, yin and yang, the desirable with the undesirable. As the Roman Emperor Augustus is quoted as saying, as is Dolly Parton, if you want the rainbow, you have to put up with the rain. This sums up balance perfectly. It doesn't mean good and bad in our lives are equally balanced. Some have more good than bad, and some are not so fortunate with their share. I, of course, am in the former. I definitely have more good than bad. My good fortune balance is in my favour. I could easily make the argument that despite this, my balance still isn't where most would expect it to be, yet it is. I can only put this down to my appreciation of what I have in my life that lets me have this perspective, and I'm sure many of you see your lives this way too. Yin and yang, pleasure and pain, one can't exist without the other. Well, I do have my fair share of pain, maybe that's why I do see so much pleasure in life. There is no doubt that I still have a lot of room for improvement in my life, but that is up to me. That balance thing again, getting out what you put in. Even that's not guaranteed in life, but it sure helps improve the odds. Balance is required in almost every aspect of life, from work and recreation, eating healthy and exercising, being productive and having some downtime, from spending time with others to having time to ourselves, to planning the future and living in the moment. Some would argue that it's critical to maintain a healthy balance in every facet of our lives. I strongly believe this, and I believe it is fundamental to thriving with chronic pain too. We need balance in how we see our lives, that on one side to look at the blessings we have, the good in our lives, and on the other, the adversity we face. We need to balance our own expectations of what we can do and when we need a break. We need to balance the times our pain is more severe with the times when it is that walk in a park, to remind ourselves that even though we might be in pain constantly, that there still are good times. To remind ourselves that life isn't all bad despite any constant adversity we may face. It may be harder at times to create that balance, but it is there. And if, like me, you face constant adversity, it's even more critical that you get there for your own well-being. Remember Mr. Miyagi, listen not just karate only, listen for whole life. Whole life have a balance. Thank you for joining me again today. There are so many tools required to living a life successfully, overcoming adversity, and balance is a part of them all. Even without constant struggles, balance is a fundamental to life. We need time with friends and family just as much as we need time to ourselves to reflect. We need to be productive, but also have downtime. Balance is everywhere. Until next time, take care and enjoy the good in your life, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.